622, 1320, WILS. So if Obamacare is repealed, we'll see all kinds of repercussions. But one of the organizations that may take the biggest hits is our rural hospitals. Alan Morgan is with us, the CEO of the National Rural Health Association. Alan, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Hey, good evening, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Yeah, and what, in terms of rural hospitals versus non-rural hospitals, percentage-wise, how do they compare in the U.S.?
Well, it's about the breaking even point. It's about an even point. You have about 2,000 rural hospitals. You have a little over 2,000 urban hospitals in the U.S. So it's about an equal division there.
When you say rural hospital, how do you define that then?
Oh, that is really a tough question, isn't it? The federal government has 16 major definitions defining rural. It's really funny, Mike. People in rural never ask how you define rural, but for the purposes of the federal government, it seems like they're always asking that.
You're basically what, in a small town? Is that, and it's a small hospital?
It's a small town. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're talking hospitals under 200 beds. Most of them, to be honest with you, are under 25 beds.
Wow, that is small. Now, what is it that is going to happen to these hospitals if Obamacare is simply repealed?
Well, that's a good question, and you really have to look at what's happening to them out there right now. Since 2010, we've had 80 rural hospitals close in the U.S., and we project as many as 700 could close in the next 10 years if we don't see some sort of change in policy at the federal and state level.
What's happening? Why are they closing?
Well, the major component and reason why they're closing comes down to a financial issue, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of Medicare cuts over the past few years, and then some changes within the Affordable Care Act itself, Obamacare, put additional pressure on these rural hospitals.
Oh, now, really? What kind of pressure are you talking about?
Well, the overall concept of the Affordable Care Act was that we were going to expand the number of people covered under the health exchanges, and we were going to expand Medicaid. Well, as you know, many states didn't expand Medicaid, and the exchanges haven't worked as well as we had hoped in rural areas, and that's been well documented. But the Affordable Care Act included a lot of cuts to disproportionate share hospitals, those rural hospitals that see a disproportionate share of low income. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be offset by these other provisions, which really didn't play out as much as
we
hoped.
So you're saying Obamacare actually hurt our rural hospitals, is that it?
It has hurt and it has helped. And that's why it's such a complicated issue going forward. And I think why a lot of people are focused in on what's the next step? What in any sort of replace, what do we see in that?
So what do rural hospitals need to avoid all these closures?
Well, first and foremost, we need to be able to have the patient population in rural areas, as you know, it's an elderly population and it's a sicker population and it's a low-income population, percentage-wise, more than urban areas. So you're talking Medicare and Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And so you got to make sure that those two programs adequately cover the costs for these rural hospitals.
And what's the coverage like right now, would you say?
Well, because of a series of cuts to the Medicare program, in particular to rural hospitals over the last 5 years, it really has put a lot of pressure on these rural facilities trying to stay open. Okay. Most of them are at a break-even point right now, so let's take example of the sequestration cut of 2%. That made a big difference for a lot of these rural facilities.
Are they typically privately owned?
It's a mix of public hospitals, community hospitals. There are some for-profits as well that operate in rural communities.
So I mean, you say 700 could close. What happens then if all these hospitals close down?
Yeah, that is a good and painful question that we really need to focus in on as a nation. And the real concern, Mike, is the access to emergency room services, right? Mm-hmm. You just can't live in a community that you don't have access to a 24/7 ER within 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I think really what we need to be looking for as we move forward is what's a sustainable new model for delivering health care in these rural
communities. Is the federal government aware of this potential? Are they trying to avoid these closures?
You would think so, but as of now, they certainly have not taken any steps forward. And that's why there's a lot of concern of what will happen if and when they repeal the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. But it does give us an opportunity to try to think, what new models do we need out there?
So in terms of what the Republicans and Donald Trump are likely to do, are you hopeful that they'll protect these rural hospitals somehow?
Oh, I'm extremely optimistic about where we're headed on this. When you look at the quality of care and the cost that you see in rural hospitals, they're very efficient deliverers of health care.
Okay, but when you say you're optimistic, what makes you so?
I think the general concept of, and certainly what Donald Trump has conveyed about it, an investment in infrastructure going forward, and one of the debates even referenced the need to invest in our nation's rural hospitals, hospitals in particular. A lot of these rural hospitals their buildings were built in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. They're due for a reconfiguration. How we deliver health care, how we access health care has changed dramatically during that time.
No, but you say that Medicare, Medicaid, that's basically the backbone for most of our rural hospitals then?
It really is, just because of the patient population, and that's the tough part. When you have a greater percentage of elderly and low income, you've got to figure out some way to make that model work.
700 could close. That's nearing half these hospitals. Do you have any numbers for Michigan? Or?
I don't have any handy right here. I will say it doesn't look as bleak for states such as Michigan. Obviously, where you're seeing the greatest potential for closure, as you might expect, in the southeast U.S., where you've got a low-income population, you've got high health disparities, and you have a public health system that really needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, what's the lobbying power, would you say, rural hospitals have as compared to the large institutions?
Well, speaking on behalf of the National Rural Health Association, I certainly hope that our voice is being heard in D.C. I will say, in the past, we've been fortunate that rural health has not been viewed as a partisan issue. So it's one of those rare policy areas where we've seen Republicans and Democrats collaborate together on going ahead. Yeah. Now, that's going to be really tough going ahead, certainly with this whole discussion of repeal of the Affordable Care Act. But I'm hopeful the recognition is out there that we have to preserve some form of access to care for rural populations.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a major public health issue just nationally. If a rural hospital is closed, what kind of a distance do some people have to travel to get to a hospital?
Well, that depends. It depends on whether you're talking up in Michigan, you're talking maybe anywhere from a 50 to 60 to 70 miles, certain cases in upper Michigan. We're talking Montana. You know, that's a whole different thing. We're talking 200 miles.
Right.
The tough part, I think, about these rural hospitals is they're, in most cases, the second largest employer in the community. And so it's not just a health issue. It's a survival issue for these rural communities as well.
Major Sir Alan Morgan, CEO of the National Rural Health Association, right here on WILS. Alan, thank you very much.
Appreciate the opportunity.
When we come back, our power grid, is it really safe? That's next.